May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 346. A sovereign protector I have, unseen, yet forever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. He smiles, and my comforts abound. His grace as the dew shall descend, and walls of salvation surround the souls he delights to defend. Hymn 346.
Let us turn to read from the Holy Word of God, as we find it recorded in the Gospel of Mark, and we will read part of chapter 10. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and we will read the first 31 verses. Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. And he, as Jesus, arose from thence, and cometh into the coasts of Judea, by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resort unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife?" tempting him. And he answered and said unto them, "What did Moses command you?" And they said, "Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away." And Jesus answered and said unto them, "For the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." And in the house his disciples asked him again of the same matter. And he saith unto them, "Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery." And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him, and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honour thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all, and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive a hundredfold. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. May the Lord grant his blessing upon the reading of his holy and sacred word to each one of us. And may he help us now to pray. O thou most holy, almighty, eternal, and yet gracious God, be mindful of us, Lord, as we are gathered together here this evening hour. And be mindful, Lord, of all who listen into this service from where they are. We thank thee, Lord, that we can come. We thank thee, Lord, that the doors of thy houses of prayer can remain open when so many other venues and businesses are commanded to be closed under the law of the land. Lord, thou art a prayer-hearing and answering God. And we thank thee, Lord, for that great goodness that has influenced the minds of our government to cease from declaring that collective worship is not permitted. So, Lord, as we gather ourselves together here tonight, O Lord, we humble ourselves before thee with truly thankful hearts, praying for thy presence to be known and felt in our midst. Lord, thou hast sent this great virus to threaten and infect. And Lord, it brings upon us great fears. Fears of infection and fears what may come to pass. Help us, Lord, to conduct ourselves wisely, that we may take caution and not to, as we would say, naturally increase the risk. But, Lord, whatever we do, we need thee to shield us. We need thy loving care to surround us, that we can go about our daily lives, restricted though that they are in so many aspects. And Lord, to know, oh, that thy presence, thy mercy and thy grace is to rule our hearts as we walk in thy tender fear. Lord, bring us more earnest in our prayers for the forgiveness of our sins, for surely thy chastening hand is upon us. And are we not like the church at Ephesus, of whom Jesus said, thou hast left thy first love? O Lord, how we are tempted and drawn aside into the materialism and the technology and the benefits of this earthly life in the day thou hast brought us to live. O Lord, so easy it is for us, with our earthly hearts within us, to lose sight of Jesus and his cross. And then soon, Lord, as thou knowest, we fall a prey. Oh, our lust and pride, oh, that which dwells within our hearts, that lust and pride by power and craft carries us away. So, Lord, we come before thee this night guilty of tremendous number of sins. And we come, Lord, to plead, oh, that sin-atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that it may be him instead of us is seen, as we seek now to approach to thee, our God, and at all times in our daily lives, night and day. Oh, Lord, may we be found acceptable before thee through the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, whose name we plead. We pray, Lord, for wisdom to be given to our government. O Lord, they have not known anything like this before. But many of them, Lord, have not been in government before. And Lord, it is only a year ago that they came into government. Lord, surely of themselves they know not what to do. And Lord, this is so evident. But, O Lord, we do pray for them, that thou wilt influence their minds, their thoughts, their hearts by thy Spirit. O Lord, do teach them and show them what they ought to do. Bring them humbly at the feet, the footstool of thy mercy. And, Lord, bring them to a humble prayer, that thou wilt bestow wisdom and guidance upon them. Show them what they ought to do and to confess their unworthiness. For, Lord, only thou canst remove the virus from this world. And, Lord, we do pray, oh, thou wilt use it to bring many who do not acknowledge thee, Lord, to know that thou art God, and they are worthless in and of oneself before thee, and they need thy saving grace. O Lord, do work these solemn, dangerous, difficult times, times of fear for good, the good being the glory of thy name. Others in other lands also, Lord, remember them and thy people there. Oh, in thy wrath, Lord, yet do remember mercy. Lord, the vaccines, we pray thy blessing upon them, which have been developed. But, oh, Lord, they can only subdue the power of the virus. Only thou canst remove it completely. O Lord, do keep us humbly in prayer before thee, and to watch, Lord, for thy good and gracious hand, Lord, to take away that which has upset all the nations, and in their economies, and in their plans and schemes. O Lord, may they know thou art God. May we know, Lord, thou art God. May we know thee more fully, more blessedly in our souls. Greater dependence, Lord, upon thee, in every aspect of our life. Be with the children, Lord, as they are upset in their education. O Lord, and parents who have to stay at home to help teach the curriculum. Lord, we do pray for them. Lord, do help them at all times. And remember those who teach their children at home at all times. O Lord, do bless the children, that they may grow in wisdom and understanding, but above all, Lord, in the things of thy truth, the things concerning Jesus. Confirm them as the lambs of thy fold, that they may grow, Lord, to be true followers of thee, to love thee through thy love for them. Lord, we would bear them before thee as we have read in thy word this night, for thee to put thy hand of love and mercy upon them, put thine arms about them, and shield them from Satan's snares. Lord, remember the young people. Lord, there are many temptations and enticements to leave the way of thy truth set before them these days. Much observed, much that is heard. And oh, the subtlety of evil philosophy. Lord, we do pray thou wilt subdue it. Lord, give our government a wisdom to know what is right and what is wrong, and to turn away from more abominable things that are sought to be brought under the legislation of our land. And, O Lord, may we enjoy the liberties of the freedom of our worship and our Protestant constitution. May the young people grow to enjoy the freedom of worship as we have enjoyed who are older all of our days. Let no persecution and prosecution come in their path. O Lord, may they know those blessings of thine, those moments rich in blessing, which before thy cross are spent, that they know what it is to be a sinner, and a sinner saved by grace. O Lord, supply their needs also in daily life. Lord, in higher education, in their occupation. Lord, when decisions have to be made, maybe for location. O Lord, do be with them and guide them and direct in friendships. Lord, in establishing friendships, the marriage bond. Oh, and the bringing up of children, where it is thy will, Lord, to bestow such gifts of thine. And Lord, when there's great disappointments, Lord, when there are things that do not come to pass as one would desire. O Lord, maintain that influence and blessing of thy Spirit. Lord, to give them, that truth as it is in Jesus, to the blessing of their souls, to rest on thy love. O, to know, Lord, that one's times are in thy hand. All events are at thy command. And, O Lord, we pray thou wilt lead them forth by the right way, that in the time to come, one's end is everlasting peace. Lord, how we all need, Lord, to be led forth by the right way. Lord, be with our dear friend giving out the hymns. Help him in all his responsibilities here. And Lord, his fellow deacon, be with him this night. And Lord, be with each of the church members. Grant that sweet union amongst them, the unity of thy spirit and the bond of thy peace. O Lord, may they know that thy spirit remaineth among them, and to fear not. Bless each of the congregation likewise. Lord, may they know those influencing by thy spirit and the blessing of thy word. The word not to thy gospel, not to be in word only, but in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And may there be many, Lord, that are constrained by thy love to tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found. Lord, be with each case. Thou knowest each case. Lord, thou knowest the fears. Lord, thou knowest those disappointments. Thou knowest those that carry heavy burdens in duties and responsibilities. Thou knowest those who have bereavements. Those, Lord, who have sicknesses and pains. Those that who have much cast down. O Lord, we commend them all to thee, that thou would hear their prayers and the prayers that are put up to thee on their behalf. O, do sanctify times of difficulties and troubles to the blessing of the soul, to the glory of thy name, and the furtherance of the gospel. We pray, Lord, thou wilt bless the ministry of the gospel here as we begin a new calendar year. O Lord, we ask thy blessing on all that has taken place in the past year. May there have been those times when thy presence was known and felt, the heart was softened, and thy word warmed the heart in power. Lord, may it be often through the days of this year as thou doth cause them to come, that it be often said, it has been good, we've been up to the house of the Lord. He met with me there. O Lord, do bless each one that thou hast sent to preach the gospel and use them to the honour and glory of thy name. Make them the means of many hearing thy voice. We lay all these things, Lord, before thee. We pray earnestly for the forgiveness of every sin. O Lord, do blot out all of our transgressions and do love us freely. Lord, help us as we follow through the hymns that have been chosen. Lord, even use those, can it be thy will, as a word in season for one and another. Lord, and as we turn to thy word of truth, O Lord, without thee we can do nothing. But, O Lord, do open these lips aright. May the words of these, my lips, and the meditation of each of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. So do not send us empty away. Lord, hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, do forgive. For Jesus Christ's sake we ask it. Amen.
Hymn 335. Poor angry bosom, hush, nor discontented grow, but at thy own sad folly blush, which breedeth all the woe. Hymn 335.
complete dependence upon our Lord to help us. I'd ask your prayerful attention to some words we find in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, from which we read, and in verse 18. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 18. And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Dear friends, this clause here is the words of Jesus. Not only the Son of God, but He is God. He's one with the Father. He's one with the Spirit. In Christ dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And yet, whilst upon this earth, he humbled himself and described himself as the Son of Man. Oh, the humility displayed in the Lord Jesus Christ to come from the heights of the glory of God to a sin-cursed earth for the sufferings of death. There is none good but one, that is God. Dear friends, there's many today who would completely disagree with that statement. They would see the virus, the pandemic that troubles the whole world, and they would say, almost blasphemously, if God was good, if He was a God of love, He would not permit such fear and death and terrible circumstances to come to pass. That's the reasoning, isn't it, of an earthly mind without any influence of the Holy Spirit. I wonder if these would also say, my parents were good, because they never corrected me when I was rebellious and I was disorderly. Dear friends, goodness is not just providing everything wonderful and well, is it? Goodness, especially in the responsibility of bringing up children, is to teach what is right and what is wrong, and to administer correction when there's that determined spirit to do what is wrong. And so it is with God. We read in one place, our God is a consuming fire. Dear friends, He will destroy those who do not believe in Jesus. Very solemnly Jesus said to the Jews who did not believe in Him, if ye believe not in me, ye shall die in your sins. And what a solemn What a solemn death that is. Yes, we all die in the body. We all have to die once. But that will be the second death. To be cast out into that lake of fire reserved for the devil and his angels. Oh, how solemn. How solemn to live our lives upon this earth in unbelief. And when I say unbelief, dear friends, I mean not knowing the true reason why Jesus came upon this earth to save sinners. Therefore, we must know what it is to be a sinner and to come short of the glory of God and to be compelled to fall before him, pleading for his mercy. Belief is not just a head knowledge, is it? It's not just a conception of the mind. We do not learn of God and of Christ and the truth as it is in Jesus, as we might learn an earthly subject, such as geography and history and physics or whatever it might be. We may have great knowledge of the scriptures in our heads. True belief comes from the depths of the heart. That teaching, that revelation by the Spirit of God to quicken us into life, to see what we are before a holy God, sinners, only deserving endless misery. And to cry earnestly for the one thing needful, Jesus and him crucified, his shed blood to atone for our sins. He to be the object of our first desire. Yes, Jesus crucified for me. Dear friends, this is the goodness of God, isn't it? He's holy. He is just. His name is merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. Dear friends, the goodness of God is that, yes, he sent his only begotten Son into the world to save sinners. Oh, that's the foundation, isn't it, of this words here of Jesus. There is none good but one. That is God. Only he can save us through the sending of his Son from death, destruction, and despair. Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. And the context is this ruler, rich ruler. Matthew describes him as a young ruler, a young man, who comes running to Jesus and kneels before him and addresses Jesus as good master. Now in one way, Jesus saying, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Almost implies that Jesus was seeking from him whether he knew that Jesus himself was God. That was the revelation, wasn't it, of the Spirit? For when Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Dear friends, there are some remarkable things concerning this young ruler. He was a Jew. He knew the commandments. He sought to obey them. And yet within him, he could not be convinced that he had obtained eternal life. He was short of eternal life. Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now we know his request wasn't perfect. No one can do anything to inherit something. Inheritance is through sonship. But the Jewish teaching of that time of the Pharisees and the scribes was that being the children of Jacob and complete obedience to the law, and they would inherit as the children of God, the favoured ones of God, eternal life. Now this young ruler had it within his heart that he was short of the glory of God. And do notice that he did not go to the priests. He did not go to the temple with his sacrifice of a bullock or a lamb, which is under the law. Dear friends, within his heart there was something needful more than that. Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Thou knowest the commandments. And he set before him a number of them. What must be do? Because if one remains completely obedient to the law and is guiltless under the law, then yes, there is life, because there's no condemnation. But no one of Adam's race has ever done that. There's no one got to heaven under the covenant of works. But Jesus knew this young man. He set before him those commandments which he knew he had kept. And so he said, All these things have I kept from my youth up. Now Mark here says, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Now some have tried to explain that away, but we shouldn't. Jesus looked in compassion upon him. He was one who was seeking eternal life. He was done what he could in and of himself, but he felt to come short. And when Jesus said these commandments and he said, All these things have I kept from my youth up, what lackest I yet? Jesus says, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell all that thou hast. He was a rich young ruler. Sell all that thou hast, a gift to the poor, and come, take up the cross, as Mark says. The other gospels just say, come, follow me. Come, take up the cross and follow me. It would be a cross, wouldn't it? To give up everything upon which he had got of this earthly life. And to live without it. To give it all away. And when he heard that, he was very grieved. Or as Luke said, he was very sorrowful. He went away. Now, dear friends, there's many who would judge this young ruler and say, Oh, he loved the money, the riches of this world greater than he loved God. And so they would judge and condemn him. No, dear friends, what this shows is our nature in this young ruler. And oh, may the attributes or the benefits shown in this young ruler be ours. You say, well, what do you mean by that? What did Jesus say when he was speaking to the Jews? We read it in John chapter 6. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will nowise cast out. He that cometh to me I will in nowise cast out. And also, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Dear friends, this young ruler was drawn to the footstool of Jesus because he knew in and of himself he could not obtain eternal life. And when he was told that which hindered him, as I could say, which was the love of riches, which was in his own heart, he was sorrowful. He could not of himself attain unto eternal life. Oh, dear friends, if we're a child of God, you know, that makes us sorrowful. We need something. We need something far greater than what we can do ourselves. On the Lord's Day afternoon, there was a word laid upon me very solemnly, which I sought to bring before my own people. And it was the words of one in the synagogue who had an unclean spirit. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? He said, let us alone. He says, I know whom thou art, the Son of God. Oh, how aggressively he spoke to Jesus. Did Jesus cast him away, though so vile? No. He had mercy upon him. He commanded the unclean spirit to come out of him. Yes, the unclean spirit tore him, almost convulsed him. But he had to come out because it was the command of God. And with the unclean spirit out of him, he became clean. And we trust he became a true follower of Jesus Christ. You know, dear friends, we're ready to condemn, aren't we, so many? Because of what they are in their earthly nature. He was one. Brought up as a ruler. He was born to those who were rulers. He had the privilege, he had the benefits of a very a prosperous life in material things. By nature, he could not give them up. But you know, dear friends, if he's been drawn by God, although we read nothing more about him, I trust he came to realize where he would obtain eternal life. Like the publican who also loved riches, be sitting at the seat of custom, who was constrained to come into the temple. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what Jesus says here, isn't it? When he turns to the disciples and says, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. Easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. I read once that at the custom or the gates of a city, there was a very small gate, and it was called the eye of a needle. A person could get through there just about. But any luggage he was carrying, he would probably have to pay tax upon it. And a camel to go through there, it was impossible. And everything that the camel bore of goods and trade and custom and commerce, they had to pay tax. Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of, in other words, impossible. And the disciples said, to who then can be saved? Who can get into the heaven, the kingdom of heaven? With man it is impossible. But with God all things are possible. Only through the goodness of God, the goodness of the grace of God, the gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, which he commendeth, that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the only way, isn't it? But just look, considering this rich ruler, ourselves. If God said to us tonight, sell everything you've got, everything you possess, leave your home, and what you make out of the selling and everything of it, go and give it to the less wealthy, the poor, the needy, and come follow me, would you be able to do it? That's what Jesus said to this rich ruler. Would we be able to do it? I think the answer, dear friends, is no. We're not to judge this ruler. But oh, how we need to be brought to the same point. To realize that we of ourselves can do nothing to earn salvation, to earn our entrance into the kingdom of God. It all depends upon the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to atone for our sins. That he, fulfilling the law on our behalf, to remove all our guilt from under it, from before the eyes of Almighty God, that it is he instead of us is seen. That robe of his righteousness in which he clothes his beloved, the ones for whom he died. He knoweth them that are his. They shall come. We've read it. They shall come. Humble to his feet. Or as the Apostle Paul writes, doesn't he, solemnly to the Romans. It's in Romans chapter 2. Or despisest thou? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Dear friends, do we know what that is? Turn about from dependence upon eternal life for everything of ourself, and to look to Christ alone. Oh, how we pray, don't we, if we are brought there. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's a narrow way, isn't it? The way of sin is a very broad way. There's a wide gate that leads on to destruction. But thanks be unto God, the goodness of God. There's this straight gate, that means upright and narrow. A straight gate, which is the faith in the shed blood of Jesus, revealed by the Holy Ghost to us. Oh, that we are convinced of our sin and then led to Jesus' blood, by faith to look unto Christ, pleading for that goodness, and to be brought into the narrow way that leads unto life eternal. The goodness of God. leads us to repentance, to turn about onto the narrow way, where he, Christ, is all and in all to us. Dear Francis, there we prove his great goodness, isn't it? It is a great goodness. When Moses came out of Egypt with the children of Israel, they came to Horeb, where the law was given them. And before Moses had come down from the mount with the law of God on those stones, the children of Israel had made this idol, golden calf, saying, "These be thy gods, O Israel, but hath brought thee up out of the land of Israel." Idolatry. And Moses broke those stones in his wrath, in his anger. Did God then destroy his people? He called up Moses again, didn't he, the second time, and he rewrote that law. And that law was to be put in the ark of the testimony, which was to be made covered with the mercy seat. The broken law repaired, covered with mercy. Oh, what a type of Christ that was, wasn't it? And in that holy of holies, that place where the high priest would once a year go and plead for the forgiveness of the sins of the people, the promise was, "There will I commune with thee from above the mercy seat." Friends, that was the goodness of God. The only goodness, the only true goodness. And as Moses came to leave Horeb, God said he would not go with Moses because of the stiff-necked people that were with him, this rebellious people. Now Moses could not take a step without he knew the Lord was with him. Dear friends, you know we've come to a new calendar year, haven't we? We've come to a time when there's great fear through this virus and other circumstances which come in our lives naturally anyway. If we fear God, if we've been brought to know that the way of salvation and deliverance from all evil is in the presence of God and his mercy upon us, dear friends, we shan't want to take a step of any day, shall we, through this new year, without the Lord being with us. And that was Moses' prayer. "If thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence." The Lord heard his prayer. "My presence shall go with thee. I will give thee rest. I will make all my goodness pass before thee in the way. All my goodness pass before thee in the way." Oh, how Moses needed that goodness of God. When the children of Israel rebelled and they wanted to return back into Egypt and spoke against Moses, spoke against God, and oh, the terrible evil of their hearts come into the forefront. And Moses had to depend upon the goodness of God, his mercy. Oh, many a time in that wilderness, they rebelled against God. And many a time, yes, he had to chasten them. But he did not pour out all his wrath. He did not pour out all his wrath. Dear friends, is that not the same with you and me? How many times have we sinned in our daily pathway? Our life is a journey, isn't it? I trust from the day he's called us to go to that, out of the bondage of sin towards the promised land. Oh, yet we've still great sinners, aren't we? Not a day goes by without us sinning. But he has not poured out all his wrath. Yes, he's chastened us. But he whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And that's part of his goodness. That's part of his mercies. And dear friends, if we can speak of them, where the Lord has chastened us because of our sin, friends, it humbles us and draws us more to him, because he has not given us over unto death. The goodness of God. That's what we need, isn't it, through this new year. Going before us in the way. We read much, don't we, of the goodness of God in that respect in the scriptures. My mind goes to Nehemiah, when he had that great exercise to return, not to return, because he'd never been to Jerusalem. He was born in Babylon, wasn't he? But the love to the place of his forefathers, where he wanted to return. And we read that when he was before King Ahasuerus, how he prayed unto the Lord through this exercise that was upon him, that he would find mercy before the king. And he did. And the king wrote a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertained to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me, according to the good hand of my God upon me. According to the good hand of my God upon me. Dear friends, have you got an exercise in the pathway you're going? It's of the Lord. He's brought you into it. There's many fears. You can hardly see how he can come to pass. And yet, constrained by the Spirit, this is the way the Lord would have you go. You must walk in it. My dear friends, if it's the way the Lord would have for you, his good hand will be upon you. His goodness will pass before you in the way. It doesn't mean to say that everything will be easy and smooth. Oh, Nehemiah had his troubles and difficulties when he got to Jerusalem, didn't he? But how he prayed. And the Lord's hand was upon him. And in one place he says, according to the good spirit of the Lord upon me. But when those difficulties came, dear friends, and if those difficulties come in your pathway, in the way the Lord would have you go, what's your foundation? It's the goodness of God, isn't it? For all things are yours. Ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. And all the promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Fear not, I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine when thou passest through the waters. And we go through deep waters, don't we, again and again, troubled in our minds and our hearts, our spirit. And we fear and unbelief wants to come up. And oh, that's a great deep, isn't it? But the promise is, I will be with thee. I will be with thee. The goodness of God in his promises, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The promise of Jesus at the very end of Matthew's gospel. Lo, I am with thee always, even unto the end of the world. Oh, dear friends, this is the goodness. There's none good but God. No one else can be so faithful and kind as this, can they? We may have some very good friends, very good acquaintances, but they tend to leave us, don't we, when something arises to divide and divide and cause strife and division and disagreement. But not with the Lord and his people. Nothing can separate us from his love. Oh, dear friends, how sweet these promises are as we carry on in our daily lives. There's none good but God. We can't trust in anyone else to that same extent, can we? Perhaps you've got a pathway before you and you fear. Because there's so much that can come against you in danger and difficulties and troubles. It was with Ezra later on, after Nehemiah, wasn't it? When he returned. He was returning with all those riches which were for the ceremonial sacrifices of God in the temple. And they were on the edge of Babylon. And they had to journey. And Ezra did not ask for any help from the king Cyrus. If it was Cyrus, it may have been the different king. He didn't ask for any help from the king in the way of soldiers and mounted troops. They prayed unto the Lord their God and they fasted for those 3 days. For the Lord to watch over them, to take care of them. To be with them throughout the way, to defend. And when they set out, dear friends, it was a journey of 4 months. And that's quite a long time, isn't it? But they arrived safely. And Ezra's testimony was, according to the good hand of God upon us. Oh, what a testimony. According to the good hand of God upon us. Now this God is our God. He changes not. This Christ, the Son of God, is our Christ and our Saviour. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. Dear friends, we can trust in him at all times. As the psalmist David says, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. Commit your way unto him. God is a refuge for us, a good refuge, a one that Satan cannot come through. Oh yes, he'll tempt and annoy, walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, but God is a wall of fire round about you, and he cannot penetrate to destroy you. You're walled about with the walls of salvation. And Christ is the glory in the midst. Oh, dear friends, this is our hope, this is our trust, this is our foundation, isn't it? This is where we have these fear nots. Fear not. Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God, a just God. And a saviour. Oh, dear friends, perhaps just one other thing in just consideration of this before I close. And that's lovely Psalm 23. David speaks of the goodness of God to him, doesn't he? Though he's a great sinner. He's been a sinner in the flesh. But he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And that shepherd is the good shepherd. The good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for the sheep. They're his. They're under the shadow of his wing. None shall ever pluck them out of my hand. None shall ever pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, friends, there may be turmoil physically in our outward life and circumstances, but within, where that love of Christ has been shed abroad by the Holy Ghost, there are still those green pastures. There's still that peace. There's something secret sweetens all, isn't there? Our times are in his hand. That's another word of David when he was in trouble. Yes, he leads us in the paths of righteousness. Those ways he will lead us in which keep us knowledgeable that is his righteousness upon which we depend and not of our own. But we're not to sin, are we? Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No, we're to walk humbly, keeping as close to him as we can, obedience to his word, but our hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. That's where his goodness is, isn't it? For the salvation of our soul. And he will keep us, kept by the apple of his eye. And though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we shall feel no evil. For thou art with me. A fulfilling of the promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And you know, dear friends, when we have a shadow, there's only a shadow because there's a light behind the great prominence which causes the shadow. And if it's the shadow of death, there's a great light shining behind that death. And that's the light of his glory and grace. The light of his eternal power that saved us from death, destruction and despair. Christ the light. Christ the fullness of the blessing. And dear friends, when we come to the end of our days and we have to pass through death, it's to be brought into his most marvellous light as we've never known it before. The light of his presence. No sun, no moon, no darkness, no sickness, no Satan, and no trouble. Only peace, everlasting peace. Until then, what is the promise which David says? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dear friends, these precious words in the Word of God, they're our rock, aren't they? They're the place where we rest in the unchanging, everlasting love of God to a sinner. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us. And then we have this last word, don't we? Oh, how great is thy goodness that thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. Eternal life through the shed blood of Jesus. Dear friends, is there anything else good in comparison to it? Yes, we may have many things which we say in a natural sense, oh, that was good. But there's nothing like the goodness of God. There is none that is good but one, that is God, who hath saved our souls from death, destruction and despair, prepared a place in glory for guilty sinners such as we. A place, as Peter says in his epistle, reserved in heaven for you. And if it's reserved, the price has been paid. Your name is on it. And to take it up when he calls us to eternal life. Why callest thou me good? Dear friends, I hope we can. There is none good but one, that is God. The Lord bless his word. Amen.
God willing, next Lord's Day, in the morning, there'll be a prayer meeting here at 9 o'clock. And also, God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde will preach to us, and it will be in the chapel, and he will preach to us remotely. And we hope that in the evening we'll be able to meet in the chapel again and hear in the same way. And then, God willing, Mr. Hadley will preach to us again next Friday evening. The announcement about the Lord's Day, of course, is different from what we announced a week ago. Our closing hymn is 990. Jesus, now thyself reveal, manifest thy love to me, make me Saviour, make me feel all my soul's delight in thee. Hymn 990.
Bless thine own word. Make thy goodness known to each one of our hearts, the knowledge of thy saving grace. Lord, at this time last year, there was one who declared of thy great goodness unto her soul, following this service. Lord, may there be many other occasions during the course of this year when one and another can tell of thy great goodness unto their soul. We lay these things before thee. Be with us, Lord, as we separate. Be with the services, Lord, be present on the coming Lord's Day. And help thy dear servant in the preaching of the gospel. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.